Chapter 11 is entitled Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwaraka. Today we are reading text 24.
Rajamargam Gati Krishne.
Rajamargam Gati Krishne.
Rajamargam Gati Krishne.
Rajamargam Gati Krishne.
Dwarakaya
Kulatriya. Dwarakaya Kulatriya.
Dwarakaya Kulatriya.
Dwarakaya Kulatriya.
Harmani Aruhu Vipra.
Harmani Aruhu Vipra.
Harmyani Aruhu Vipra.
Harmani Aruhu Vipra.
Tadikshana Mahotsava.
Tadikshana Mahotsava.
Rajamargam.
Rajamargam.
The public roads.
Gate,
while passing over. Krishne, by Lord Krishna. Dwarakaya, of the city of Dwaraka. Kulatriya, ladies of the respectable family. Harmyani, on the palaces. Aruhu, Gata, Vipra. O Brahmanas, Tat Ikshana, just to look upon him, Krishna. Maha Utsavaha, accepted as the greatest festival. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Krishna passed over the public road, all the ladies from the respectable families of Dwarka went up to the roofs of their palaces just to have a look at the Lord. They considered this to be the greatest festival. Purport: to have a look at the Lord is a great festive occasion undoubtedly, as it was considered by the metropolitan ladies of Dwarka. This is still followed by the devout ladies of India. Especially during the days of the Julan and Janmashtami ceremonies, the ladies of India still throng up in the greatest number at the temple of the Lord, where His transcendental eternal form is worshipped. The transcendental form of the Lord installed in the temple is not different from the Lord personally. Such a form of the Lord is called Archa Vigraha or Archa incarnation and is expanded by the Lord by His internal potency, just to facilitate the devotional service of His innumerable devotees who are in the material world. The material senses cannot perceive the spiritual nature of the Lord, and therefore the Lord accepts the Archa Vigraha, which is apparently made of material elements like earth, wood and stone, but actually there is no material contamination. The Lord being Kaivalya, one alone, there is no matter in Him. He is one without a second, and therefore the Almighty Lord can appear in any form without being contaminated by the material conception. Therefore, festivities in the temple of the Lord, as held generally, are like festivals performed during the manifestive days of the Lord of Dwaraka, about 5,000 years ago. The authorized acharyas, who know the science perfectly, install such temples of the Lord under regulative principles, just to offer facilities to the common man. But persons who are less intelligent, without being conversant with the science, mistake this great attempt to be idol worship and poke their nose into that to which they have no access. Therefore, the ladies or men who observe festivals in the temples of the Lord, just to have a look at the transcendental form, are 1,000 times more glorious than those who are non-believers in the transcendental form of the Lord. It appears from the verse that the inhabitants of Dwarka were all owners of big palaces. This indicates the prosperity of the city. The ladies got up on the roofs just to have a look at the procession and the Lord. The ladies did not mix with the crowd on the street, and thus their respectability was perfectly observed. There was no artificial equality with the man. Female respectability is preserved more elegantly by keeping the woman separate from the man. The sexes should not mix unrestrictedly. Om Ajnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamahiyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vashalam Pangum Lankayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्दा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। So we are seeing in this chapter that the Lord is entering the city of Dwaraka now. He has finished his activities in Hastinapur with the Pandavas and now he is returning to his hometown. And when he is entering the city of Dwaraka, over the previous many verses, it is being described how the residents of Dwaraka are giving a grand Vedic reception to the Lord. So this is showing the Vedic culture which should be observed and which was prevalent earlier 5000 years ago. That how when a great personality comes, what is the way to welcome that personality? And over the previous many verses, we saw how different types of people from different sections of society and different ashramas and different varnas are coming to pay their homages and their respects to the Lord. In the previous years, we saw how the Brahmanas were coming to offer respects to the Lord, and in this verse we are seeing how the ladies of Hastinapur are offering respect to the Lord by standing up on the top of the palaces, and Prabhupada says they are not mixing with the men down, and this is what is preserving their respectability. So it is not that the residents of Dwaraka heard that Krishna is coming and then they just okay he's coming, so they just said they just came and saw and went away or something like that, and they just got busy with their work like normally it happens in the material world in Kali Yuga. We heard you're a great personality is coming, but we are all so busy in our own day-to-day activities that nobody does such a grand reception as the residents of Dwaraka have planned. So this is the correct etiquette, or this is the correct Vedic way of receiving a guest. Leave aside everything that can all wait, because the most important personality in the world, the Supreme Lord, is entering Dwaraka right now. And in the purport, Prabhupada is saying that just to have a look at the Lord, to have a look at Krishna, is one of the most joyous or festive occasions in life. And he says that now Krishna is not present on the earth. His manifestive days are over. He has wound up his pastimes and gone. So the residents of Dwaraka are all pure devotees of the Lord. They are all eternal associates. And therefore they were able to see the Lord with their own eyes. They were able to have direct darshan of the Lord, personal darshan of the Lord. But for all of us, the Lord is not present right now. So Prabhupada says in the purport that there is no difference between the Lord and the Archa Vigraha of the Lord. There are big temples in which deities are installed by acharyas, and then there is no difference. It is the Supreme Lord Himself who has mercifully come in His Archa Vigraha form, so that all of us can still continue that joyous occasion or have that festive occasion of looking at the Lord and drinking the darshan of the Lord with our eyes. In fact, deity worship or archanam is one of the 9 important processes of devotional service, which have been mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj also in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam during his conversation with Hiranyakashipu. There Prahlad Maharaj mentions that Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam and Atmanivedanam. These are the 9 potent processes of devotional service, of which Archanam or deity worship is also one of the processes. And Prabhupada mentions over there in the purport that by following any one of these 9 devotional processes, one can completely perfect his life and go back to Godhead. Any process is potent enough to take one back to Godhead. So then, you know, Prabhupada is talking about deity worship in this verse, and Prahlad Maharaj talks about Archanam in the 9 processes of devotional service. But the question may arise in our mind that what is the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga? The Yuga Dharma is Harinam Sankirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has said, Harir Nama Harir. It is said in the Kala Santara Upanishad, Harir Nama Harir Nama Harir Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nashte Eva Nashte Eva Nashte Eva Gatir Anyatha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came to propagate the Harinam Sankirtan in Kali Yuga, which is the only way to achieve the Lord. And also, which is the book where religion has taken shelter now in the age of Kali? So even when Lord Krishna left the planet, all the sages who had assembled at Nainisharanya, they asked Sutta Goswami that Krishna Swadhamo Upagate Jnana Dharma Vibhagasaha. Where had Jnana and Dharma taken shelter after Krishna left for the spiritual world? And Sutta Goswami answers that the Jnana and Dharma have taken, or religion has taken shelter in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So then this Purana is there, Srimad Bhagavatam Purana, which is the most important book, and Harinam Sankirtan is there, which is the most important, or which is the only process for Kali Yuga. Then why Archa Vigraha, or why Archanam is being stressed by Prabhupada in this purport? So Prabhupada says that Archa Vigraha, or deity worship, or deity form of the Lord, is non-different from the Lord. And worshipping the deity form of the Lord will do purification of the mind and senses. There are, in fact, in the scriptures it is mentioned that there are five manifestations of the Supreme Lord, or five different forms of the Supreme Lord. The first manifestation is known as Para. So Para means the original form of the Lord, which is present in Golok Vrindavan, where, you know, Krishna is having his pastimes with all his eternal associates. So that is the first original form of the Lord, which is called as Para. The second form of the Lord is known as Vyuha. So from Krishna comes Balaram, from Balaram comes the first Chaturvyuha, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna and Vasudev. So this Chaturvyuha is called as the Vyuha form of the Lord, or the quadruple expansion form of the Lord. The third manifestation of the Lord is Vibhava. Vibhava means the Leela avatars of the Lord. So we know so many different incarnations, or so many different avatars of the Lord came to perform different pastimes with their devotees, like Narsimha, Vamana, Varaha, Matsya, Kurma. These are all the Leela avatars of the Lord, and they are categorized as the Vibhava expansion, or the Vibhava manifestation of the Lord. The fourth manifestation of the Lord is known as Antaryami. Now, Antaryami means the super soul, or the Paramatma. Antar means he's inside. He's inside everybody. He's inside every jiva. He's inside every atom as well. So that is the fourth manifestation of the Lord, which is the super soul. And the fifth manifestation of the Lord is Archa Vigraha. So then these first four manifestations of the Lord have been mentioned in the scriptures. But if we see, the first four manifestations of the Lord are completely spiritual manifestations, like Para, Vyuha, Vibhava and Antaryami. They are complete spirit. They are the manifestations of the Lord in His original spiritual form. And we, the Jivas, are in this material world. Although we are also Sachidananda Vigraha, we are also eternally pure, we are also spirit. But right now, in this material world, we are embodied in this body, which is made up of matter. So like Prabhupada says in the purport as well, that it is very difficult, the material senses cannot perceive the spiritual nature of the Lord. So with our material embodiment and with these material senses, even if Krishna were to personally be present, like he was present 5000 years ago, in front of the residence of Dwarka, we would not be able to perceive him, because we are all materially embodied, we are all conditioned right now. So with material senses, one cannot worship the spiritual form of the Lord. And therefore, the Lord accepts the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord. This is the merciful nature of the Lord actually. He knows that my embodied living entities, they are all embodied in the five elements of matter, and they will not be able to perceive my spiritual form, neither will they be able to worship, or neither they will be able to have darshan. So then the Lord, just being merciful on the people of Kali Yuga, He comes as the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord. He Himself accepts a form which is made of matter. It could be made of stone, jewels, metal, any form, or paint. So many different materials are there from which a deity can be made. So the Lord mercifully accepts this material form, so that we who are embodied in this material body can worship this material form with our material senses. So this is just the merciful nature of the Lord, why He comes down in the Archa Vigraha form. Now here an example of a mother and child can be given. Now when the child is very small, let's say he 1 year old or 2 years old, and the child wants the mother to pick him up. So how will the child, you know, go into the mother's lap or into the mother's arms? The child cannot climb up the mother. The child is not so tall enough, neither does the child have that skills to climb up to the arms of the mother. But the child really wants to go to the mother, and the child is just extending his arms that, oh mother, you please, I want to come into your arms. So then how does the mother take the child into the arms? The mother actually bends down to pick the child up. The mother stoops down to the level of the child, and then the mother picks up the child and takes him in his arms. So same way, we are also all children of Krishna. So Krishna is at that level, the spiritual level, where we all can't access Him, because we are all made of matter. So it is the greatness of Krishna that He comes down to our level. He knows we are made of material senses, we have material senses, we are made of matter, we are made of the Panchabhuta Mahatattva. So Krishna comes in the Panchabhuta Bhuta Mahatattva form just so that he can become accessible to us. Just as the mother stoops down to the level of the child to pick up the child. Similarly, Krishna comes down to our level because he loves all of us. We are all his children. So he comes down to our level so that we can worship him. And this is the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord. So because the Lord himself has agreed to accept this form, it is non-different from Krishna. It is just his mercy that he is coming to our, down to our level. In fact, there is a very nice pastime of Indradyumna Maharaj in this connection. I heard this pastime from one of the lectures. So it is mentioned that Indradyumna Maharaj, when he was a very small child, he was a big fan of basketball. So his father used to take him to watch all these basketball matches. And once he went to watch one of the match, and one of his most favorite players was in that match. Now we know all basketball players are usually quite tall. Otherwise, how can they shoot the ball into the basket? So this player was very tall, and after the match was over, all the players were returning back to their dressing room or whatever. And Indradyumna Maharaj was standing right at the fence where these players would pass from. And he called out his name because he was so excited. That was his most favorite player in the basketball game. So he called out his name, and this player actually stood. He waited and he started playing with Indradyumna Maharaj. Now this player was extremely tall and Maharaj was such a small child. So what did the player do? He knelt down and he stooped down to the level of Maharaj, and then he had a long conversation with Maharaj. And he played with Maharaj for a long time like that, at his level. And that from that time onwards, Maharaj said that I realized that I have to also, like that basketball player, become approachable to people who cannot approach me. And therefore, whenever we see Indradyumna Maharaj, we will see that he is always surrounded by children. Because that basketball player left such a good impression on Maharaj. So Maharaj also spends hours and hours with children. He takes them to his room, shows them his deities. He is kneeling down and all the children are there around him. So Maharaj spends so much time with the deities. And it is mentioned that the greatness of a person, the greatness of a great person, can be known by the level to which he can stoop down for the common man to become, to approach him. That is how the greatness of a great person can be known. And this is the greatest person we are talking about, Lord Krishna. So he is just coming down to our level. He is coming down in a form of matter so that we can all accept, or we can all go and worship him in that form because we are all embodied. So, and the most wonderful feature of this deity form of the Lord is that although it is made up of matter, it is made up of stone, wood, metal, jewels or whatever, although Krishna has mercifully accepted this material form, the first four expands, the first four manifestations of the Lord, which is Para, Vyuha, Vibhava and Antaryami, are all together present in the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord. So we know that it's not that, you know, people might think, oh, we are missing out. The residents of Dwarka were such pure devotees. They got to have personal darshan of the Lord. They got to associate personally with the Lord. And now, you know, we are just associating with the Archa form of the Lord. But no, all the four manifestations of the Lord are actually present in the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord. So that is the potency. That is the power of this worshipping the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord. In fact, once a person asked Srila Prabhupada, he said that Prabhupada, Krishna is present everywhere. He is there in every atom. You say that he is all pervading. Then why are we worship? Why are you all worshipping him in the temple alone? He is present everywhere on this planet. And Prabhupada was a genius in answering such rascals. So Prabhupada said that yes, you are saying Krishna is everywhere. So part of him being everywhere, that means he is there in the temple also. So why are you not coming and worshipping him in the temple? That means he is there everywhere, so he is there in the temple. And that is why we are worshipping him in the temple. So you also better come to the temple and worship this deity form of the Lord. So it is true that Krishna is everywhere. He is all pervading. We have read in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is there in every atom. He expands himself as Shirodakshai Vishnu. And he is there in every atom. Every atom, and between the space of every atom also he is present. So he is all pervading. He is present everywhere. That person was not wrong in saying that. But if I want to worship Krishna, let's say I want to offer, I have made nice halwa or I have made nice barfi or sandesh, and I want to offer to the Lord, where will I offer it? He is there everywhere. So I will offer it in south, east, west, north. Which direction should I offer it? And also if I want to dress the deity or I want to dress Krishna, now everybody will claim, oh, Krishna is everywhere, Krishna is everywhere. So where do I go and dress? He is all pervading, but is he accessible to me in that all-pervading aspect? No. So that is the reason why Krishna comes as Archa Vigraha. So that he becomes accessible to us. He is there everywhere. He knows, like, you know, Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu challenged Prahlad Maharaj. Is he there in this pillar? Is he there? Is he here? And Prahlad Maharaj was actually a pure devotee. He was able to see Krishna everywhere. And he said, yes, he is there in this pillar. So Prahlad Maharaj could get the Lord out of the pillar because he was a pure devotee. But because we are not at that level, we are all still conditioned. So therefore the Lord comes as Archa Vigraha form. He becomes accessible to us, although he is all pervading in nature. And just to facilitate our worship of him, so that we can nicely feed him, we can nicely dress him up, we can nicely bathe him. These are all the worship which the Lord comes to accept from us in his Archa Vigraha form. And it is not possible to do this in any other form of the Lord. And also the example of the cow and the udder can be given in this regard. Now there is a verse in the scriptures which says, Gavan sarvanga aha kriyakshira stana mukha virajate yatha sarvatra godeva pratima adishu virajate. So it says, Gavan sarvanga aha kshira. Gavan means a cow and kshira means milk. So Gavan sarvanga, in every limb of the cow, milk is present. Even Prabhupada says that what is milk actually? Milk is nothing but blood of the cow transforms into milk so that we can all drink it and nourish our intelligence and our brains by drinking the cow's milk. So in every part of the body blood is flowing. And in that, therefore it is mentioned in this verse that in every part of the cow's body milk is present. So now if I want to get milk from the cow, where will I get it from? Will I get it from the ears? Will I get it from the leg or get it from the tail? No. So it is said, stana mukha virajate. But this cow's milk is present everywhere in its body, but it becomes accessible to us, to the common people, through the udder. Stana mukha means through the udder the cow's milk becomes accessible. So similarly, yatha sarvatra godeva, that although the Lord is all pervading, sarvatra, he is there everywhere, pratima adishu virajate. Pratima, he has mercifully manifested as his deity form of the Lord. That is the form through which he becomes accessible. So just as the cow's milk is present everywhere in the cow's body, but becomes accessible through the udder, or the stana mukha virajate, becomes accessible to us through the udder, from where we can get the milk of the cow. Similarly, although the Lord has this all-pervading nature, he is present everywhere in this world, in every atom. He becomes accessible to us through this pratima or the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord. So thus the deity is non-different from Krishna. It is not that Krishna is present in the deity. Once a disciple told Srila Prabhupada, the disciple mentioned to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, Krishna is present in his holy name. And Prabhupada corrected the disciple. He said, no, Krishna is not present in the holy name. Krishna is the holy name of the Lord. So similarly, Prabhupada also stressed that Krishna is not present in the deity form of the Lord. So we see here the beautiful deities of Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Gaur, Nita and Radha Vallabha. So it is not that the Lord is present inside that idol, or it is, and therefore it has become Krishna, therefore it has become Archa Vigraha. The Lord is non-different from this Archa Vigraha. The Lord is himself personally this Archa Vigraha form of the Lord. That is how Prabhupada stressed that how Archa Vigraha form of the Lord is so potent and powerful, because he is non-different from Krishna. He is the merciful Lord himself who has manifested in this form just to accept our worship. And we can understand this, that the Lord is non-different from his deity form, through many examples in the scriptures. Now one of the most important example which comes to my mind is the example of the pastime of Sakshi Gopal. Some of our children performed that drama last year in the temple on Sakshi Gopal. So we know the pastime that there was a young Brahmin and the old Brahmin who went to on a pilgrimage. So they did pilgrimage of various places, and at the end their pilgrimage finished in Vrindavan. And the old Brahmin was so happy with the young Brahmin's services, because the young Brahmin served him so well throughout the whole pilgrimage, that the old Brahmin felt obliged to reciprocate with the young Brahmin. And as part of that obligation, he told the young Brahmin that, I promise I will give you my daughter in marriage when we get back to Vidyanagar. These Brahmins were from Vidyanagar in South India. So the young Brahmin said that, no, this is not an appropriate match. You are an extremely rich person and I am a simple poor Brahmana. I don't think I will be an appropriate match for your daughter. But the old Brahmin said that no, it is not material qualifications. Looking at your spiritual qualifications, looking at all your qualities, I want to give my daughter in marriage to you. So then the young Brahmin said, but who is the witness that you have said this to me? Let us go and do this in front of the Gopal deity of the Lord. There was a beautiful Gopal deity of the Lord in the temple where they were visiting. So he said, you say it in front of the Gopal deity of the Lord and he will act as the witness that you have done this promise to me. And they did that. They actually went in front of the deity and the old Brahmin promised, I will give you my daughter in marriage and I am saying this in front of Gopal. So when they went back to Vidyanagar, for a few months there was no news from the old Brahmin. And the young Brahmin was wondering, almost 6 months had passed. And the young Brahmin was wondering that what's going on? He has promised me his daughter and he's not giving. So it's not that the young Brahmin wanted, you know, he was in a hurry to get married or anything like that. But he was worried that the old Brahmin will incur sin because he has promised in front of a deity to give his daughter. So he goes and asks, he goes to his house and reminds him of the promise that you had promised me in front of the deity to give your daughter. But at that time the brother comes running out and the brother was not at all happy with this match when the father came and announced. So he drives the young Brahmin away with sticks and he says that who is the witness? Who told you my father has given this daughter to you? You must have fed something intoxicating to my father and that time he must have said or something like that. Or you did all this just to get fleece money from my father. So he really hurt the young Brahmin with his words and with sticks. And he said that if you want that my sister should be given to you in marriage, then you go and call Gopalji as a witness. Because the young Brahmin kept telling this brother that no, he has promised in front of Gopal, he has promised in front of Gopal. So then he said that okay, since you are insisting I should go and bring Gopal as a witness, I will go and bring him because your father has promised in front of this deity. So the young Brahmin goes back all the way to Vrindavan and he goes and tells Gopal. And this young Brahmin was actually a pure devotee of the Lord. So he goes and begs to Gopal. He says that you were the witness when the old Brahmin promised and now he is going back on his promise. His son is not allowing this marriage to take place. So why don't you come and bear witness and prove to that family that indeed the promise had been made in front of you. So Gopal talks to this young Brahmin. He says that have you ever heard of a deity walking down? I am in Vrindavan, you are asking me to come till South India. Have you ever heard of such things happening? And then the young Brahmin says that my lord, if you are talking to me, why can't you walk? So you please come with me to bear witness. Please walk down with me, otherwise that old Brahmin's words will prove false and he will incur sin. So then Gopalji agrees. He says that okay, I will walk with you till Vidyanagar, but you should not look back. You will come to know that I am behind you from the tinkling of my ankle bells. And in this way they keep walking. And as soon as they approach the border of Vidyanagar, the young Brahmin cannot hear the tinkling bell sounds of the Lord. So he just turns back to see that, oh, is that the Lord has, because he got worried if the Lord has gone away at the last moment. So he turns back to ensure whether the Lord is still following him. And the Lord was still there. And the Lord just becomes manifest in his deity form there. And he says that I had told you not to turn back. So now I'm not going to walk a step further from here. But you go and call everybody and come and I will bear witness. I will tell them. So he tells that okay, now you call everyone and I will bear witness. So the young Brahmin runs and he calls all the residents of Vidyanagar. And he tells them to come. He says, Gopalji has walked all the way from Vrindavan just to bear witness to this marriage. And when all the residents gather, including the brother, father and everyone, Lord Krishna actually speaks to all the residents. And he says that, yes, I am the witness. This old Brahmin had indeed promised in front of me that the young Brahmin should get the daughter in wedding. So you please arrange this wedding because it is my desire also and I am the witness that this promise had been made. So we see that how Lord Krishna is non-different. It is not that, you know, the deity is just made of stone and how can it walk or how can it reciprocate or how can it, you know, do anything which the Lord personally could do when he was present. So from this pastime we see that it is non-different from Krishna. He actually walked down all the way. He actually spoke. And even on the way when he was walking down, he had told the young Brahmin, every day you cook 1 kilo of rice and feed me. So he was eating also whatever the young Brahmin was cooking from me. So all the functions he was doing, because the deity is non-different, he is Lord Krishna himself. In fact, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited this Sakshi Gopal temple, After the temple was constructed in Vidyanagar, but after that the deity was moved back to a place near Jagannath Puri. It's called as Remuna Dham, I think. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to visit this place quite often. And when he visited the temple of Sakshi Gopal, he was so amazed at knowing about the pastime of Sakshi Gopal that he spoke this verse. He said, Pratima nahi tumi sakshada vrajendra nandana vipralagi karatumi akarya karana. He said, Pratima nahi tumi. He said, you are not a deity, my lord. Sakshad Vrajendra Nandana. You are yourself Vrajendra Nandana. You are yourself the lord. It is not that this is a deity. You are personally present as this deity form of the lord. Vipralagi karatumi akarya karan. Vipra. For that young Brahmin, you did some activities which never you would have performed otherwise. Akarya karan. You did activities of walking, talking, eating, just to fulfill the promise of that vipra or that brahmana. So it is not that you are a pratima, my lord. You are personally present as this deity. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very attached to that Sakshi Gopal deity. So for us, we see, like we hear from the scriptures that Krishna is non-different from the Lord. Krishna is the deity is non-different from the Lord. The deity is actually the Lord. But these are all pastimes in the scriptures. So how do we understand that yes, he is an authorized representation of the Lord, or he is the Lord himself? And in this matter, we can understand by logic. Now, if we take a currency note, like we take a $50 note, and if we take an ordinary paper. So if you see the $50 note, or a $10 note, or a $20 note, what is that? That is also actually paper only. And what is an ordinary paper, like this paper? This is also actually a paper. But if I shred this paper off, nobody will feel bad. But if I shred a $50 note off, people will think, why is she shredding this $50 note off? So what is the difference between these two papers? Why is one called a currency and why is one called an ordinary paper? So that is called currency because it has been stamped by the Reserve Bank. Like the governor or whoever is the authorized representative, the finance minister, whoever is the authorized representative, he has stamped that note. And therefore now it has become a currency note and it is no longer acting as ordinary paper. So in the same way, that although this is also marble where we are all standing on and the deity is also made of marble, but is it the same? Is like the currency paper and ordinary paper, they are not the same. Similarly, this marble and that marble form are not the same because that marble form has been stamped by a pure devotee of the Lord. A pure devotee of the Lord, when he does prana pratishtha, he invites the Lord to manifest as the deity form of the Lord. And that is how this marble becomes a deity, because it has been authorized or it has been stamped by a pure devotee of the Lord. Or it has been stamped by the worship of a pure devotee of the Lord. Like we see in the pastime of Raghunandan Thakur from Chaitanya Charitamrita, how he made the Lord eat the laddu just by his devotion. So because this marble and that marble are different, because it has been authorized by a pure devotee of the Lord. And therefore it is non-different from the Lord. Just as the currency note has been authorized by the governor of the country or by the Reserve Bank of the country. And also from practical experience, by logic we understand that the Lord is present in the as a deity form. But even by practical experience we can understand that. We all know that how the Lord reciprocates when we come and pray, we come and put up our prayers. If we are struggling with some anartha or if we are struggling with some situation in our life, and if we come and pray to the deities, we feel so much reciprocation from the deities. We all have experienced that. And also the prasadam of the Lord. Now that is the most practical experience we all can vouch for. Everybody claims that, you know, the food which is offered to the Lord is not ordinary food. It becomes transcendental. It is nectar. So many times in Crossways, so many times people who have never known also that this is offered food, but they all get addicted to the halwa and all that. Just because it has been tasted by the deity. Just because it has been infused by the power of the deity. So that is the practical part of the Lord. He reciprocates with us in our prayers, and also through the prasadam potency of the Lord, we can realize that this deity is non-different. He is the Lord himself. And there is a very nice pastime which happened in America. Now in there also the devotees used to do Harinam, like, you know, devotees in our temple also do in the city. So there was one man through whose house every time the devotees used to pass. And this man was extremely inimical. He was completely envious. He used to feel very angry when the devotees used to do Harinam. So what he used to do is he used to pick stones from his front yard and he used to throw at the devotees whenever the devotees used to pass by. But still the devotees know the potency of prasadam. So they always used to give him a cookie. And the man used to throw the cookie. Every time he will throw the cookie, plus he will throw stones at the devotees doing harinam. But one day somehow the man said that every time they are giving me a cookie and I'm wasting this food like that. So let me eat it and see. So once he had the cookie and you know the transformation started, the potency of prasadam started working on him. So he really liked the taste of the cookie. Now he didn't know that this is offered food or this is blessed food. He just thought it's ordinary food. But the potency started working on this man. So next time when the devotees passed by, he still went and hit. But he said, can you give me the cookie? And then he had the cookie. Again next time when the devotees came, this time he did not hit because slowly the consciousness was getting transformed. So this time he went and spoke lots of bad words to the devotees. But still at the end of that he said, can you give me the cookie? And he had the cookie. And next time when the devotees came, this time no bad words, just can you give me the cookie? And he again had the cookie. And again next time when the devotees came, the prasadam had taken so much effect on his consciousness that he came and asked the devotees that what is this mantra you all are chanting every time? And then the devotees told them that this is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They explained about the importance of chanting. So again next time when the devotees came, he had the cookie but he joined them and he started chanting. And after 6 months, the same man who used to hit the devotees with stones, who used to speak bad words to them, he became such a nice devotee and he became the temple president of one of the temples in India. So this was the potency of prasadam. And we see that this is the practical experience. Why prasadam has so much potency? It is because it is being tasted by the Lord himself. When we offer to the deity who is Krishna himself is tasting it and making it so powerful. So this is the practical experience also we have, how the deity is non-different from Krishna. And we see this in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that what is the importance of, you know, visiting deities or taking darshan of the deities. So we see in Vidura's pastime. Now Vidura was a devotee of the Lord, he was a pure devotee of the Lord and he was somehow a mismatch in that family. He used to always advise Dhritarashtra, he used to always give him good advice. That even when Duryodhana was born, he said that there are so many bad omens when your son is born. You please discard this son. Otherwise he is going to be the cause of destruction of the whole dynasty. But Dhritarashtra was materially blind and he was spiritually blind also. He never listened to the counsel of Vidura. And he kept, growing up, like he kept nurturing this inimical son of his. So once when Vidura was advising Dhritarashtra that how they should make peace with the Pandavas and they should give them those 5 villages at least which they were asking for, Duryodhana became extremely angry with Vidura and he insulted Vidura in the whole court, in front of the entire assembly. He said that who is this son of a maid servant who is taking the liberty to advise us kings like that? This man should be just chucked out of this palace and he should not be given anything. He should be just left with the breath of his air. This is the way in which Duryodhana insulted Vidura. And Vidura immediately left the palace. He realized that this is not Duryodhana. He did not retaliate with Duryodhana. Or he did not say anything back or try to clarify his position. He realized that this is the Lord speaking through Duryodhana, advising me that I should leave this mess before the war starts. I should leave this mess and go away. So immediately Vidura left the palace. And what did he do? He went on a pilgrimage. And there Prabhupada mentions that he went to different holy places in India. And he visited so many temples and so many deities of the Lord. And why did Vidura do that? Prabhupada mentions over there, because he wanted to rid himself of all the material contamination which he had accumulated. And we know Vidura was a pure devotee, but Vidura felt that it was very contaminating to live in that political atmosphere with Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, who were all inimical towards the Pandavas, who were pure devotees of the Lord. They were not listening to the good advice. They were not listening to the Lord. So Vidura felt very materially contaminated in that association. And therefore to purify himself of that material contamination, he started visiting different temples and different deities. And Prabhupada also makes a point over there that Krishna was personally present on the planet at that time. Then what was the need for Vidura to go to different holy places? He could have always gone to Krishna. And he could have, you know, worshipped Krishna, or he could have just been with Krishna. Why did he not take that approach? Why did he visit different holy places and different temples? And Prabhupada says that because, in that purport Prabhupada says, because the deity form of the Lord is more merciful sometimes than the Lord himself. And there is much more reciprocation Vidura was feeling from the deity form of the Lord. And that is why he chose to visit different holy places and to visit different deities. Because he felt that that would purify his consciousness, that would rid him of all the material contamination. And also Prabhupada says he wanted to set an example. Through Vidura's example we realize that if we also want to purify ourselves, we must visit different holy places, we must visit different temples and take darshan of the Lord. So taking darshan of the Lord is very materially purifying. It rids us of all the material contamination. In fact, it rids us of the concept that we are the controller. And that we are in charge, or we want to, you know, it is, things are happening, like karta hamiti manyate. We think we are the doer, most of the time we think like that in this material world. But when we start worshipping the deities, it helps us to slowly rise above that concept. In fact, when, you know, many pujaris have given examples that when they are dressing the deities, they are not in control. It's actually the Lord who inspires the pujari to dress in the way the Lord wants to look on that day. And there is a very nice pastime which is given in the book called Pastimes of Lord Jagannath in Rajapur. I think Pankajangri Prabhu or Jananivas Prabhu has written that book. So in that book there is a pastime about a pujari who was trying to dress Lord Jagannath in Rajapur. And he had finished dressing and now he was putting all the necklaces, all the mala on the Lord. So he put one necklace, then he put the second necklace, and then he put the third necklace on the Lord. And when he put the fourth necklace on the Lord, the necklace fell down. So the pujari thought, oh, it was a mistake. He again picked up the necklace, purified it, and he again put it on the Lord. And again the necklace fell down. So then he thought, what is this? Why am I keeping on dropping the... He thought it was his mistake that he is keeping on dropping the necklace. So he again picked it up and he again tried to put it on the Lord, the third time. But when he tried to put it on the Lord the third time, the Lord spoke to him. He said, rascal, don't you understand that I want only three necklaces? Why are you attempting to put this fourth necklace on me? I don't want it. Stop it at three necklaces. And the pujari was amazed. So this shows that, you know, we are not in control. That controlling tendency slowly goes away when we worship the deities. We come to realize that it is the Lord only who is the controller. And it is His desire only that is getting fulfilled. He is just using us as instruments to dress Him. And also when we feed the Lord, when we worship the Lord nicely, then slowly we remove ourselves from the center and we make the deities the center of our lives. So worshipping the deity has that advantage also. It rids us of the concept that we are the controllers, and it also helps us to make the deity as the center of our life. And not, you know, our own selves or our own ego as the center, feeding our ego, feeding ourselves. We feed the Lord opulently, we dress the Lord opulently. Prabhupada says that if you keep dressing deities opulently, day by after day, month after month, year after year, then your own desire to dress up and look nice slowly goes away. Then your only desire is that how the Lord should look nice. But also we have to be very careful. So we are hearing that, you know, deity worship is very important. But Prabhupada also warns in many instances in the Bhagavatam. He says that one who only worships the deity form of the Lord in the temple is actually a Kanishtha Adhikari. One who only worships the deity form of the Lord but who neglects serving the devotees, such a person is a Kanishtha Adhikari of the Lord. And there is a very nice pastime from South India, from Sri Rangam. So there was once a devotee called Kanchi Purna. This is from the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And he used to live in a holy place called Kanchipuram, where there is the deity of Varadaraj Perumal. And this is one of the Divya Deshams. It is one of the 108 self-manifest deities of the Lord. So this Kanchipurna service was to fan this Varadaraj deity of the Lord. So his service, every day in summer, he used to keep fanning the Lord. And Kanchipurna was such a pure devotee of the Lord that Varadaraj used to personally speak to Kanchipurna. They used to have conversation. And many people around were aware of this. So one of the devotees once came and asked Kanchipurna. He said that Varadaraj directly talks to you so many times. So can you please once ask him whether I will go back to Vaikuntha in this lifetime? And this devotee was very attached to Kanchipurna because he knew Kanchipurna was a pure devotee of the Lord. So Kanchipurna said, yes, yes, definitely I will ask the Lord this. So Kanchipurna next day came and humbly asked the Lord. He said that, my Lord, there is this devotee of yours who was inquiring from me yesterday. And he wants to know whether he will go back to Vaikuntha in this lifetime. And Varadaraj Perumal assured him. He said, yes, definitely that devotee will go back to Vaikuntha in this lifetime. Because he is very attached to you. That is why he will go back to Vaikuntha in this lifetime. So he was very happy. Kanchipurna was very happy. And he said, okay, I will go and tell the devotee. But after some time, Kanchipurna started wondering that, okay, the Lord has given assurance for that devotee. But what about me? Will I go back to Vaikuntha in this lifetime? So Kanchipurna humbly again inquired from the Lord, that my Lord, you gave assurance for that devotee, but what about me? Will I go back to Godhead or will I go back to Vaikuntha in this lifetime? And Varadaraj told him that no, you are not going back to Godhead in this lifetime. Do you think just by worshipping a deity, just by fanning the deity, you will go back to Godhead? That is not the process. You have to be attached to a devotee and you have to serve a devotee to go back to Godhead. Now we have to understand that Kanchipurna was actually a pure devotee of the Lord. But this is pastime is just to show us that, you know, only deity worship should not be done by neglecting the devotees or at the cost of neglecting devotees. So then Kanchipurna got really worried. So he immediately stopped that service of his. And he then went to a pure devotee, a disciple of Yamunacharya. He said, okay, I will go and worship a disciple of Yamunacharya. Now I will go and completely dedicate my life to serving him. So he came, I think that was a village near Sri Rangam, where he came to worship him. And he said that I am going to continuously worship this disciple of Yamunacharya. And that is how I will also get to go back to Vaikuntha, because this is the process which Varadaraj has given. So he kept worshipping this disciple. And this disciple actually knew Kanchipurna very well. So Kanchipurna had to go in disguise, because he would not otherwise accept his service. So he went in the disguise of a cowherd boy. And he kept, you know, he used to look after the cows of this disciple. And in this way he was continuously serving this disciple of Yamuna, the great saint Yamunacharya. And after serving him for a few days, once it was raining profusely, so this disciple of Yamunacharya thought that, okay, let me take some dry clothes for this cowherd boy because he must have become wet. And when he came there, Kanchipurna had already changed because his clothes were wet. And then he was in his original attire of dhoti, kurta, tilak and all that. And he used to always keep that hidden, but somehow this disciple saw that form today or saw that original identity of Kanchipurna. And he said, who are you? I think you are Kanchipurna, who used to fan the Lord personally in Kanchipuram. What are you doing here as a cowherd boy? All these months you have been acting as my servant. So this disciple was extremely disturbed because he knew Kanchipurna is a pure devotee. And he was feeling disturbed that he has been accepting service from a pure devotee like this. So then Kanchipurna explained to this disciple that, you know, the Lord told me that I should serve a disciple, serve a devotee, then only I can go back to Vaikuntha. But this disciple said, no, that is between you and Varadaraj. You go and sort it out with him. But I will not allow you to continue this service to me anymore. But in the meantime, Varadaraj Perumal was also feeling separation from his devotee, Kanchipurna. So he sent a message. He said, okay, I'm sorry, now you please come back. You have served a devotee enough. So you please come back and resume your service of fanning me. And I assure you, you will go back to Vaikuntha in this lifetime. But from this pastime, we can see that it is not just enough to be to worship the deity form of the Lord. It is also extremely important that we serve devotees of the Lord. And Prabhupada says, like Vidura, when he went to the holy places on his pilgrimage, he did not just take darshan of the different deities in different temples. He also associated with the holy people over there, with the sages over there. And he did hearing in the holy places, in the association of devotees. So Prabhupada said that one who has a combination of both, one who worships the deity nicely, but at the same time who is also serving the devotees very nicely, that is a first class devotee and that is a proper mood for a devotee to go back to Godhead. So we'll end over here and we'll see if there are any comments or questions or corrections.
Thank you, Sachin. Have a very entertaining class, Mariji. In the beginning, you were mentioning the five manifestations of the Lord, and I was wondering what your reference was.
It is given in, I was doing some research, and it's given in one of the scriptures. I don't remember the name of the scripture, but I also read in the written notes of one of the lectures of Radhanath Maharaj, and he was quoting these five manifestations. But there was a scripture quoted, but I have forgotten the name of the scripture. And I think it is from the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Ramanujacharya has said that. But I forgot the name of the scripture. But Ramanujacharya originally said this when he was trying to fight impersonalism. That time he gave these five manifestations of the Lord.
Thank you for the wonderful class. I wanted to ask a clarification. When we offer go to deity like Radha Krishna and we give only to Srila Prabhupada, so is there any difference in the prasadam between the two?
We only give to?
Difference in the prasadam. Say we are offering bhoga to Radha and Krishna and sometimes we are offering only to Prabhupada. Is there any difference? Why am I asking a sharing reason? Few years back, I used to take some samosas to St. Vincent's Hospital.
Okay.
And the doctor there, they appreciated so much. They said, where can we buy these samosas? So beautiful. So, but Atindarupa Mataji won't let those samosas be offered to the deities.
Mm-hmm.
She will only offer the sofa and then send them there. So, is there any
difference? Where were these samosas from? They were from outside? They were outside samosa?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's why. Because we don't offer anything which is cooked by outside people to the deities. Maybe that. So, I feel there is no difference because I think the reason why Achyutrupa Mataji must have told is because Prabhupada is very merciful and, you know, somehow we want to give some prasadam to the people whom you are. Ideal thing is to give, you know, things which are cooked by devotees and which have been offered to the deities. It is ideal to distribute that. But in this situation, if you are doing that, then maybe the Achyutrupa Mataji said that because Prabhupada is very merciful. So he knows that you want to distribute somehow prasadam and you want to make that difference in their life. So that is why Prabhupada accepts. So I know one thing, that whenever we offer to our Guru Maharaj or to Prabhupada, then they would never accept it without offering it first to the deities. And therefore we have Prabhupada and our Guru Maharaj on the altar, because there might be so many mistakes we might make in when we are preparing an offering for the Lord. We might sometimes add less salt, less sugar, more chili, less chili. Like there might be, we are not able to cook perfectly like the pure devotees of Vrindavan would be cooking. But what, when we offer first to our Guru Maharaj and Prabhupada, then it is mentioned in the scriptures that they do the corrections in the bhoga for us. So like that in the disciplic succession, every previous acharya keeps correcting if there is something more to be added or something to make it more perfect for the Lord. So every acharya keeps correcting it till it reaches Radharani and she makes it most perfect and then offers it to Krishna. So that is how the offering reaches Krishna. So if we are offering it to Prabhupada or to our Guru Maharaj, then they will take care of any flaws which are there and they will offer to Krishna. So I don't think there is any difference.
On the same point, what happens if people take samosa and they leave part of it? Do they get any reaction to that?
Yeah, it is better when we, especially when we give prasadam, it is better to educate people that, you know, this is blessed food, you know, something like that, and take as much as you want, but please don't waste it.
But some people have only habit. Yeah. They don't want to finish it. They will finish something left.
So then it's hard. I remember when during our Guru Maharaj yatras, like we have yatra in Vrindavan, Mayapur, like not now because now it's become 4,000, 5,000 people, but a few years ago when there were not so many people, so they used to make all the devotees sit down and serve prasadam. And that time if any devotee has left anything on their, they would only come and take the plates and those, you know, kela patta, they would only take it and banana leaf and throw it away. But if there is any prasad left on the plate, then they would tell that devotee to throw it. They said that we don't want to incur the, have the bad karma of throwing prasadam away. So now this, because you have left, you go and throw it. If it's better, you finish it, but if you can't, then you go and throw it in the bin. So it's not ideal to throw prasadam. Anything else?
Self is Krishna, how it got destroyed.
I know in New Zealand when there was a recent earthquake, the deity of the Lord got desecrated. But like for example, there is one very nice pastime of a deity which was broken in London when Prabhupada was trying to install deities in London. So there was one Hindu society which had ordered deities from India, but they were not ready to install it because Radharani's finger was broken in that deity form. And you know, there is some ritual in India that you can't install deities which have any broken arms or broken pieces. But Prabhupada, when they invited Prabhupada to have a look at the deity, and when Prabhupada went there, he saw that the deities were so beautiful and these people are not ready to install. So he had taken Tamal Krishna Maharaj with him and gone. And he kept talking to this, you know, that Hindu society chairman was thinking that he will first, you know, talk to Prabhupada, then they will discuss, then, you know, if Prabhupada feels that they will take it and go, but he will question Prabhupada, why, you know, broken deity you all are ready to install, all that. So he, but Prabhupada kept engaged in his, kept him engaged in conversation, but in the meantime, like, he did sort of ishara, he did sign to Tamal Krishna Maharaj that go and put the deities in the van. And you know, in the Leelamrita and also in Abhay Charan series, this pastime is there, that the Hindu chairman, society chairman kept telling Prabhupada, not today, wait, I want to talk to you more about this. And Prabhupada sort of just kidnapped the deities and went away from there. And then after they travelled some distance in the van, then Prabhupada stopped and he took darshan of the deities nicely. And that time Tamal Krishna Maharaj said that, Prabhupada, we almost kidnapped these deities and ran. And then they asked him that, you know, they are not ready to install, there is a chip, but how come we are ready to install the deities? And Prabhupada said that usually there is no flaw. You know, the Lord, when Prabhupada himself did pran pratishtha of those deities, so he said that the Lord is there as is being present as this deity form, so there is no flaw. If there is, you know, little bit finger broken, we will repair it. So in those matters, Prabhupada was very practical. But when the deity gets, you know, destroyed like this, sometimes these pastimes happen. So I know when the Mughals were attacking during Aurangzeb's time, when the Mughals were attacking and they were trying to destroy various deities of the Lord and all that. So I think it is also to increase, the Lord wants to increase his devotees' affection for the Lord. So in fact, in our recent Bhakti Vaibhav studies also we did that Prabhupada said that a devotee should be ready to give up his life to protect the deities. And I remember when the Juhu deities, for example, during the whole Juhu temple episode, when Radha Ras Vihari were going to be attacked by the local council, the local municipality people. They had almost destroyed the temple and they were about to attack the Radha Ras Vihari deities. And the devotees were, like, there are one or two Matajis who were not allowing them. They had closed the deity doors and they were not allowing them to. And those Matajis had to be dragged by hair away by those policemen who had come. So Prabhupada was very pleased when he heard that he said, yes, one should be ready to give up their lives to protect the deities. And we also see that in the during the Mughal rules, there were so many Vaishnavas who gave up their lives just to protect, like Radha Govindji and all these deities when they were being attacked. So they used to smuggle them at night, they used to put them in some hay and all that, and they used to somehow bury them. So, but still many devotees lost their lives. So for any such things, you know, sometimes the Lord is doing these pastimes so that his affection for his deity form, the devotee's affection for the deity form increases. We'll end here, it's getting late. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.